We are, our theme for the year is believe. Now, someone did ask me this week, they said, so when are we going to stop believing? I mean, when are we closing this thing? So the answer to that would be a couple of things. One is, when you feel like you believe, come to me. And you can say to me, I believe. You can stop now. Then that Sunday, that would be done. Now, obviously, the idea of believe is based originally as we started the year. What does it mean to believe? The word believe, pisteho, is to be convinced of something or someone. And we looked at Abraham, that Abraham, it says in Romans chapter 4, against all hope, Abraham being 100 years old or 75 when God originally called him, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. So in other words, Abraham was able to have a child eventually at age 100 that became the Israelite nation. And eventually, it's through that nation that Jesus was born. And so in many ways, Abraham is the father of our faith. But what took him from not having children to being the father of many nations is he believed. He was convinced of something or someone. He was convinced of what God had the power to do. It says in Romans 4:21 that he was fully persuaded that although the odds were against him, that God had the power to do what he had promised. So for me to believe, and that's where we want to be going as a congregation, is that although the odds might seem against me in particular things, that my hope would not be in myself, but that it would be in God, and that although I think, and as we'll unpack later this morning as well, that this is not possible, to not look at what I can or cannot do, or even what history has shown to be able to be done or not to be able to be done, but what God has the power to do. Now, to believe is to be convinced of something or someone. That something is God. That someone is either a promise that he made or a statement that he made. So, for instance, to Abraham, the statement was, you will become the father of many nations. I will bless you and you will be a blessing. That was the statement. Now, I think sometimes we find ourselves disappointed, and I don't want to go too deep into this. I just want to mention it. Sometimes we find ourselves disappointed that God, I really need a car, or I really need a better car, and I believe, I'm convinced that you have the power to give me the car that I want. Now, there's something missing in that phrase there. To give me the car that I want is not, you have the power to do what you've promised. Because God didn't promise a car. Any car. Nor house. Nor spouse. Nor children. He promised to Abraham that he would have an heir, but it didn't promise that necessarily to us. So now to believe is that God has the power to do what he had promised. To believe is that God promised, Jesus said, I will be with you always. Even in that beat-up car, I'm with you. In the car. Even though you maybe are not in life where you thought you would be, I'm still with you. And it's to believe that. Or as we looked at in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, that grace and peace will be ours in abundance through our knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. That I believe that if I get to know God better, if I get to know Jesus better, then his grace and peace will flow into my life in abundance. To believe. That makes sense. So the good news is, although we're still on the same theme, we are actually going to move ahead and we are going to move from verse 2 to verse 3. Now, we're going to see how it goes today. I hope to close off verse 3 today. That's the aim. But I also want to be sensitive to hungry tummies and people that went to bed very late last night. And like I prayed about, where your goal is maybe just to get through the service. But we hope for more than that. So, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Let's read that together. It says there, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Okay, that is a verse that is incredibly dense and has a lot in it. There are two parts to this verse, and we'll see if we can get through both of them. The first part is it says, His divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. That's part one. That is idea number one. Idea number two is through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. So those are the two ideas. We'll see how far we get with them. Idea number one. His divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. In other words, His divine power has given us everything we need in order to be able to live a godly life. But what does that even mean? To live a godly life. What does it look like when you're a teenager? To live a godly life. When you're in your 20s, 30s, and your 80s. A godly life. A godly life is to live reverently, faithfully, and obediently to God. For me to live a godly life means that I'm living reverently, faithfully, and obediently to God. One of the questions that tends to haunt us almost in every decade of your life, and it tends to resurface, it starts in your teens, and then it sort of resurfaces every time you change a decade. So when you enter the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and even at the end. And that question is, what on earth am I here for? So in your teens, you try and figure it out. What on earth am I here for? What am I supposed to do? Just finish school and hope for the best? Figure out my career, be good at sport, find a boyfriend or a girl. What on earth, where is all of this going? Am I supposed to be like my parents, end up there? And most of you guys must probably be thinking, no, please God, anything else. Just not that. If that's it, Lord, then take me now, Jesus. But it doesn't really change. I remember that question in the 20s. Where am I heading? In the 30s. Oh, my goodness. Am I heading in the right direction? In the 40s, which I entered 3 years ago. Am I really heading? I think when you head into your 70s or 80s, the question is most probably, what on earth was I here for? And in other words, as I look in the rearview mirror, did I serve my purpose? Did I do it right? At a time when God's people were living in exile, not in Jerusalem, scattered, Assyria, Babylon, because of their disobedience, God spoke through the prophet Isaiah, saying this to them in Isaiah 43, verse 6. They were scattered, and he said, "Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory." Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone whom I have created. Bring them back, the people that I have created for my glory, for my honor. What am I here for? What is a godly life? To bring honor to God. To live for His glory. We were made for His glory and for His honor. We were made to live Christ-exalting, God-glorifying lives where we live reverently, faithfully, and obediently to our God. We were created to be overwhelmed with wonder by His greatness, His majesty, His brilliance, and His love. We were made for worship. To find Him fearfully beautiful and excellent in every possible way, and to let that beauty of His transform us and be reflected in our lives. In Leviticus 11, verse 44, God said, "Be holy." The word holy meaning sacred, pure, set apart. He says, "Be holy, be sacred, be pure, be set apart. Because I am holy, I am sacred, I am pure, I am set apart. Jesus, in some ways, repeated those words in Matthew 5:48 when he said, be perfect. That word perfect meaning be complete, without blemish. Therefore, as your heavenly Father is complete and without blemish. Now, I have a bit of a confession to make, and that is that those scriptures do not exactly describe me. You know, if I look at those things, be perfect, live reverently, faithfully, obediently, holy, pure, sacred, set apart, as I am holy, as I am pure, as I am set apart, I fall short. To say I fall short would be an understatement. There are so many times where I'm impatient. You can ask my kids. This must probably be the hardest thing for them, is my lack of patience. When we need to get out of the house in the morning to get to school, those are challenging times for me. It's hard to get to school. Actually, it's hard to get out of the house to be able to go to school. If I look at the kind of husband that I am and who I should be and how I could and should serve around the house and how I'm not, I fall short. If I look at, what did my wife say to me yesterday? I don't want to phrase this right. She's sick at home. Please pray for her. I hope that I wasn't the cause. But I think she said, are you out of your mood or are you still moody?
What do you mean moody? I wasn't moody. You look moody. Why do you bring up my moody? Is it because you're moody?
Karen, and she's swallowing it now. That's what you get for working with me. She was mentioning in passing in the office the other day a comment about me that she just randomly said. And I sort of went to my office and I thought more about that comment. And I thought, man, that was quite a comment. And so I went back and I said, please unpack it for me what you meant by that. And in other words, I won't go into all the detail, but long and short, she basically said, I'm too serious. Is that right? I'm too serious. And so then Leah was in the office and we called her over and asked her about my seriousness. And she got involved. Later on, Steph got involved. And I was working through this. And so the night I went home and I said to Lisa, I had the most interesting conversation today at the office. Karen made this random comment about me being very serious, me. And I know there's a little bit of seriousness, but I mean, it's just a little bit. And she said something in the lines of, oh, but I assume it's so obvious you know that. What do you mean by that? And you know, sometimes it feels like I'm here, but I should be here. Other times it feels actually more like I'm most likely more in the direction of here when it comes to living a godly life, be holy as I'm holy, be perfect as I'm holy. This is where I am, but where I should be is not there, but really, really we... Where I am is out the door, and you have to ask yourself, where I should be is not in our solar system. And as I processed my seriousness with these guys, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, but it's so the core of who I am. I don't mean to be serious. And I said this, and there's another brother, I won't mention his name, but he also struggles with my similar seriousness. Once I saw myself on a video with the kids, and oh my goodness, did I look serious. But I didn't feel it. So I remember the moment that we had. And what was on my face was not what was on my heart, but how I'm presenting myself is one of serious. Now, if you are tempted afterwards, because this usually happens, to come to me and say, thank you for bringing it up. I wanted to bring it up with you as well. You know, go and have a conversation with someone else. Okay, so I've had my fair share. Talk to Jesus about it. He'll work it out with you. But as I looked at it, and I think this is the core of my being. I don't want to be it. But it's at the core of my being. I don't feel I have it in me to be different. The question is that true? Pippa, short for Philippa, my youngest daughter, she's 5. She's also sick at home. Pray for her as well. And pray for me. As everyone's sick, that has an effect on the emotional economy in the house. But she was saying to me, I think it was Friday, she was saying to me, she got up, and the goal is they get up at 6, we need to leave at 7. So she says to me, she says, I so badly want to watch TV before I go to school, but you don't want me to watch TV. I said, sweetie, that's not quite what I said. What I said is that you guys must first finish breakfast, brush your teeth, brush your hair, have your clothes going on, the backpack, and if you are done with that, then you can watch some TV before we go. She says that by the end of that, it's time to go. I said, well, that's my point. Okay, so that's why watching TV now is not helping the goal of leaving. So I said, now I'm an understanding dad. So I say, sweetie, so, because it's not exactly true what you're saying, is it that you're feeling that I don't want you to watch TV? And she said to me, that's not how I feel, that is how it is. Okay, so I am here, I need to be there. Is it what I feel or is it what it is? Let's go back to the passage. Verse 3. His divine power has given us, big word, everything we need for life and godliness. His divine power has given us everything we need. I'm over here. I need to be out there in the solar system. Can I do it? Is it a feeling? Is it a fact? It says His divine power has given us everything that we need for a godly life. One of the things that we have been talking about with some of our staff and some of our leaders, is the process of what they call in the corporate world onboarding, in terms of when you bring someone onto your staff or into your organization, the onboarding process is basically, are you, by bringing them onto your staff, are you setting them up for success? Where you're making it easy for them to win? And as I looked at our onboarding process sometimes with our staff and hiring interns, some like a Dumani, Kaletso, Liesl, some of our office staff, some of our leaders, I had to ask myself this question. Man, are we setting these guys up for success? And I think there's a lot of work to do to be able to make sure that you give them everything that they need to succeed. And even like a Fundi, a young Christian, the question is, are we giving them everything from our side and our realm of ability to be able to set them up for success? Because that's what everybody wants to do, right? Everything you need. I'm sure that we can tell many stories here about how we wish that the company that we work for, or our boss, just knew a couple of things and would just give us a couple of things that would just allow us to actually do our jobs better. Who can do with some of that? Let's just do a quick check here. Who of us feels like, I wish that my boss could just, okay, we now the staff put down your, this is now where you guys need to be clever. So Some time ago, we decided to take up camping. It didn't last long, but we at least tried. We enjoy it. It was just difficult to do with small children. But you sort of think, what do you need for camping, right? You need a tent. And so, but then you start asking around, and then the word outdoor warehouse comes up. You walk into outdoor warehouse, and what do you see? Everything you need. Now, you wonder, why do they have this state-of-the-art place with everything that you need for camping? But that's a different discussion all by itself. But what is everything that you need? If you're a gamer, BT Games has everything that you need. If you are 18 gold, Cotton On has everything that you need. Plus typo. Plus soda block. Plus a couple of other places. Has everything. Imagine that someone would say to you, that your parents would say to you, they felt motivated after this lesson today. And so they want to say to you, go to BT Games, get everything that you need. Go to Cotton On, get everything that you need. That would be a special moment for everybody. What God is saying is He is giving you the outdoor warehouse for a godly life. He is giving you the Cotton On for a godly life of holiness and maturity. He is giving you the soda block. Whatever it is for you, He is giving you that. He is putting it into your hand to enable you, to onboard you in a great way so that you can live a godly life. Now, that everything statement, though, what makes it work or not work is who says it. If you are about to embark, but some of you guys, who of you are matric? Finishing. One, two. Darnell, he's somewhere here. Okay, there we go. Matriculants. Now, varsity is not cheap. It's actually cheaper than some schools these days, but it's not cheap. Imagine you go to UCT or Stellenbosch, you go to the open day, and you find that you figure out what it is that you want to do for the rest of your life. You want to become a doctor, an engineer, an artist, whatever it is. And they offer the course, and you look at the price tag, and you realize that this is the course. This is the res. This is the books. And it's this boatload of money, and you have nothing. And you're sitting there, if you've ever been on UCT at Jamie's Stairs, you're sitting there, you're sitting discouraged with your head in your hand. You're thinking, how are you going to do this? And someone walks up to you, taps you on the shoulder, a homeless man, and he says to you, don't be discouraged, I'm going to give you everything you need. Is that going to inspire confidence? Joy? A relief? Oh, thank you, man. I really appreciate that. Oh, just... Now, we love homeless people, but in that situation, that's not going to be inspiring. Now, imagine the same thing happens. You're discouraging, and believe it or not, there comes Oprah Winfrey. And she is on UCT. She sees you sitting there. She taps you on the shoulder, and she says, what's wrong? And you tell her your story, and she says, you know what? I'm actually in Africa looking for people like you. And I'm going to give you everything that you need. Now that is something quite else. It says back in the passage, His divine power has, past tense, given you everything you need for life and for godliness. His divine power. What does that even mean? The word divine is theos, which means supernatural. His supernatural power. The power with which God spoke the world into existence. With billions of stars and billions of galaxies and a sun that burns at 5 million degrees Celsius in its cooler parts and 15 million degrees Celsius in its hotter parts. He spoke it into existence through His divine theos supernatural power. When the Israelites needed to get out of Egypt, it was His divine power that got them out of Egypt. It was His divine power that opened up the Red Sea for them, but it came crashing down on their enemies. When Joshua was fighting a battle and they were running short in time and he needed more sunlight, and he said, "Oh, please make the sun stop." And the sun stopped for a day. It was His divine power that made the sun stop and yet did not let the earth collapse in the process. It's His divine power that raised Jesus from the dead. What Peter is saying is this. He says, this overwhelming, supernatural, eternal power of God is laser focused on providing for you everything that you need to live this godly life, to live a life of reverence, a life of faithfulness and obedience. He has given you everything that you need. So, in closing, yes, that is true. I'm going to give us off early today. In closing, the song leaders are going to run for it up here. Watch them sprint. We didn't get through verse 3. We'll close the rest next time. If you're feeling you're over here, let just so that we know who's where. Who of us, and you can be honest, we're friends. No one will say anything. Who of us feels that there is something in you that you know is inherently you, but it's destructive? It's hurting you. It's hurting relationships, it's hurting a marriage, it's hurting your children, your parents, friends. But there's something that needs to change, but you just don't feel like you have it in you to make the difference. Let's see a show of hands, okay? Here's my... Okay, you can put your hands. the feeling is strong. This is where we're at. That's where we need to be. Every time that you feel that this week and as you tackle this thing, I want you to think back of this verse. And I've done it a number of times over the last week as Karen put this tsunami, avalanche, snowball into my life. Thank you, Karen. But as she initiated, as God used her to initiate that, this is what I said to myself numbers of times this week as I faced that wall. His divine power is laser focus and has given me everything that I need to live this Christ-exalting, God-glorifying, reverent life. Let's close with a prayer. Father, we thank You so much that You, in every possible way, have set us up for success. Father, and I pray that as we venture into this week and into this day, and as we might be tempted to give in to sin, as we might be tempted to be discouraged, feel discouraged, that we will remember that we serve an awesome God who has not left us hanging, but that through Your